Okay, and we're back, Jim. It's been a hot minute since we've had a chit chat, and you know,
I know.
I tried to get AI to replace me today because I just wasn't feeling it, but couldn't get it to pull it off. So what's going on? What are we going to talk about today?
Well, so I wasn't sure, so I went back to the AI engine, and was like, hey, AI, tell me what I'm supposed to do today for my job. And the answer I got was, well, your boss would really like to come back and talk more about AI. And so since I listen to AI blindly and my boss signs my paychecks, actually doesn't. Does anybody even sign? I mean, that's a topic, a totally different topic. We're not. In our previous
episodes, we just stay off the rails. We don't have to go anywhere. We just live there.
That's true. It's a good thing. We seem to not even bother with rails. So Middle Parekh, who was our guest on the last episode, and we've brought him back to continue our conversation about AI. So if you had missed the first one, I highly recommend you go check that one out. I'll drop a link for you if you really need it into the show notes. And to go back and listen to our first part, but Middle has agreed to grace us with his presence again, and he's back. So Middle, thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure, and I'm sure you both are thinking, you know, one more time, this dude is back on this episode. And for my listeners, no, that's not because I am Jim's manager. It just so happens that I am Jim's manager, but we agreed that there is a ton to unpack in the name of AI. And today we are going to keep it razor focused on Ruckus Analytics, our AI engine from Ruckus.
I thought we had you back because you look so good and you make us look better. But then I remembered this is an audio only podcast, so it really doesn't matter.
So you're saying
no comments.
Look, I put on a nice shirt today. Collar and everything. Look at this. Are you saying I didn't
confirm? He brushed his hair. He put on a shirt. I assume he's probably deodorized. Jim looks properly presentable.
I'm wearing pants.
All right, now we got to keep it PG. you can stand up all you want, Jim. Nobody can see it.
No, I had to adjust my chair. All right.
Back on the rails.
Remember, we decided we're not doing rails. No more rails for us.
That's true.
So, Middle, last time we were talking about AI and in enterprise networks, or just, I guess, networks in general. I mean, anymore, it's funny. I talk to people all the time, and it's there. I don't know if there's really a distinction anymore between a lot of some of those verticals on like the network, because all we end up changing is basically the requirements. So, you know, one type of vertical needs this type of requirement, but in the end, it's really just all sort of an enterprise network. But in our last episode, we were talking about some of the different ways that AI can assist network engineers, network architects, you know, the day-to-day operations people, network administrators. And so to sort of tie into that, now that we have all these different use cases for AI, and now that we know what AI is going to do for, what do we do with it? I mean, it feels like we got this big, massive thing, and it's like, great, I'm walking around the store carrying a giant pillow, and it's like, what do I do with this thing? Yeah. How does that all work?
Okay. So let's learn by taking an example, and I'm going to use Ruckus Analytics, the AI engine from Ruckus. And what we are going to do, at least I'm going to try to fit into this podcast episode, how Ruckus Analytics is helping our customers in one of or many of these dozen elements that we went through last time, right? So we are going to keep it razor focused. I assure you with this banter, I will not be able to touch upon all 12, but let's get started somewhere, right? So simple things like real-time monitoring and analysis and analytics. So you might say that, of course, I have like 17 other tools that do it. No, I'm not going to argue around it, right? But imagine this, that Ruckus's AI engine, Ruckus Analytics, right, it's able to draw a baseline by continuously monitoring your network traffic and performance, right? It identifies anomalies. So it's going to, it, again, I go back to the thing that I told you guys last time, that imagine your body going through 24/7/365 CT scan, right? That's what is happening with Ruckus Analytics. It is taking in data points from every network element in order to create a universe view of the universe so that it knows what to keep an eye on, right? And it identifies when something goes south or issues as they occur. And no, it's not a rules-based engine, if you are wondering, right? So let's start with this one, which is you have set the baseline, right? The baseline changes. It's pretty dynamic because you know what? It is continuously monitoring the human habits or the habit or the way enterprise networks behave. They change from time to time. So does baseline. But then comes a very important point, and that is, as I'd mentioned, proactive maintenance, right? Or proactive management. So imagine, if what if I told you that Ruckus AI engine from Ruckus, is able to keep a close eye and identify incidents. First, identify incidents so that it can take every incident and say, aha, I'm going to evaluate just how ugly this is. So first set of things or magic that Ruckus Analytics, the AI engine, brings to table is being able to identify what we call it blast radius. What does it mean? Is that this particular thing that I see that's abnormal could result in these many users, these many devices, these many applications across these many venues or locations could go wrong. Now, there are two people right now in this podcast in front of me, John and Jim. Now, Jim is running a school. And if that school site goes down, right, maybe entire K-12 goes down, or even elementary K-6 go down, nobody can study. But he's a chill dude. He's going to place a call with the IT guy and say, you know, things are not working here. And John is hot and heavy. He is by himself. He has only one iPad. iPad doesn't work, doesn't stream Netflix. He keeps calling. He logs 17 help desk tickets, right? Now, let's take it from IT's perspective. Who is IT going to help? Angry John Deegan, or who's not able to see that Netflix movie, or a very chill superintendent of a school, or a principal of a school where the entire school is down, but he is very silent, very polite about it. IT is going to treat the squeaky wheel. But AI is going to show them that no, that school is more important. That incident will become service affecting. And hence, it has become priority one. Whereas John Deegan, with his one iPad and Netflix not streaming, is priority four. So now let's go slow down and see, identify that you proactively identified an incident and you have now avoided it from becoming service affecting, because you see something going wrong and IT identified it because it got prioritized as P1 and they fixed it before the entire school went down, right? So being able to, first of all, prioritize, auto-prioritize, that's very important, right? Now, let's slow down on this one. My listeners, I want them to digest this and say, oh, so if I'm evaluating an AI system that's going to manage my network for me or help me manage my network better, is it able to prioritize these incidents for me? Right? Identify incidents and not just run a laundry list of 75 or 80 in front of my eyes. And now I have to bring my specialists together every morning to look at the blast radius, what we call it, right? As to how ugly every incident is and identify who should work on what. Right?
Now we all know that, you know, yes, the school, you know, with the whole school being down is a lot more important, but you know, and that's a good technical thing, right? But we also know that in the business of Wi-Fi, in the business of networking, there's also something else that you have to cover. Like in my last job, I did most of my network at 40 megahertz wide channels because I needed channels. I didn't have enough spectrum, except for the one corner on the top floor. Actually, it was the second floor because top anyway. But there was one corner that was covered by an AP that was running at 80 megahertz wide. Now, that's because that's where the CEO sat. So I purposely designed my network so that the CEO would have an 80 megahertz wide channel where the rest of the building was only running 40s. Now that worked because, you know, I could carve out that one little corner. And so while we know that schools are important and we know that service, but we also know and understand that sometimes there's non-technical reasons to raise a priority on something. Is that something that Ruckus AI can do for us? Is not just, yeah, the whole school's down, it's impacting, you know, 50 APs and 1,000 devices, but it's also, hey, that one really critical, important person that we need to make is happy, you know, make sure they're happy so they give us extra funding. Can we also sort of craft that so that it's the AI is helping the engineer and not just running it and taking John's job?
So first of all, the taking John's job is not under consideration at this point, right? We are now talking about AI being able to identify. So remember, I told you that AI draws a baseline, right? It draws a baseline and it is smart enough to understand. So when it takes stock of situation, it realizes that, aha, there is one place where the network is tooled in a certain way. So AI is not taking up your job and say, no, I'm going to change this or I'm going to propose this change. It is drawing a baseline and say, this is done for a reason, right? So it is not going to disrupt your network the way you have designed. It might identify, flag that as an anomaly or something that stood out. But again, remember, you still have an IT as a chance to say, oh, I don't want to see it, right? So at the end of the day, you can pretty much say that AI is there to help you. It's not going to force you, or it's not even going to change your settings on its own. Okay?
Right.
No, but I think, and maybe I'm on the right path, Jim, let me know. But so what I'm thinking of, and I use this a lot, and I actually, we have it now in RA and I love it. But I used to have maps, and my APs were in maps, and we have it again. It's great. And it lets you see what AP is down. Now, obviously, if your whole map turns red, you know you've got a lot of APs down. And probably, I mean, the odds are, I'll put dollars to donuts, that if you've got a lot of APs down in a network, it's not an AP problem. You've lost a switch or switches or a whole closet or something worse. But any good engineer knows their maps. And you can tell from looking at that map that maybe you lost one building, but then you lost on the other floor, you lost one specific AP, and that's the executive wing of the building. And no offense to that second floor, but you're going to have to find a second engineer because you're going to have two separate problems, and that C-level AP, that single AP, is going to get a lot of attention. Sort of the squeaky wheel in the grease, to your point from before. What I would kind of put that into perspective, though, with the beauty part with RA, you would see like a whole building down as a P1. Mm-hmm. That CEO's AP might be a P2 or a P3, depending on how things are. I'm not looking at RA right now to tell you, but one AP itself is not going to be a P1, probably. I don't think it's going to require some intervention. But the beauty part of both, with the added, and this goes back to the force multiplier that we talked about the last episode, and I think we might have mentioned it again, it's going to give you enough insight to hopefully solve both of those problems in less time than it used to take us to do one. But so I think what Jim was asking, though, is can we flag a specific AP, even though it's only a single AP, to go down as a P1 because it's the CEO's AP?
But you bring up a good point, John. Sorry, Middle. John and I are going to argue here for a second. But you bring up a good point, John, and I think you did it inadvertently. Because with the additional insight of AI,
maybe it's not as big of a deal. Maybe it's not as critical anymore, because AI is going to tell us and allow us to identify what exactly is the problem that caused the entire building to go down. So by maybe we're thinking about this wrong. If we can fix that problem much quicker. And a lot of the times it's you learn it by the seat of your pants, right? I mean, that whole thing of looking at the map, my previous job, I could look at a map and I could tell based on which ones had gone red. I could tell you if it was a switch or a distro or, you know, aggregation. I knew exactly what it was based on how many have gone down because I knew my maps.
Yeah.
But if you don't know that, if you don't understand that because you're new or you're lean IT, whatever, maybe we don't need to have that ability to flag the CEO's AP as a higher priority, because if AI and Ruckus AI allows us to identify the bigger problem faster, then we can actually, that becomes a force multiplier. So maybe that's not even a problem anymore.
And the other thing I would add on top of that, and I actually thought about this when we were running through the 12 list, and then something Middle said earlier made me think about it. Let's take the AP being down out of the equation.
Okay.
The CEO has a problem. And the beauty part with a tool like RA is you're not just seeing that there's a problem. I mean, and you might not even see the problem specifically called out by the device, but you know the CEO. Let's assume that the company owns the devices. So you've executive support people have said, you know, Joe Smith, our president, has a problem, and these are his devices. And the problem is with his iPad. And here's his MAC address. So you can go into RA and find that MAC address, and that's going to give you all the information it has about that MAC address. And you can see, is it up to date? Does it have a certificate problem? Does it have, you know, it might not tell you the exact problem, but it's going to cut down on the number of troubleshooting steps you have. And anybody who's supported executives knows that it's really impossible to get your hands on that device. So something like that is it's a gift from the networking gods. I laugh about maps and things like that. And I had an executive of a network complain about a problem. It was right when the iPhone 10 came out. And they were like, nobody can get the iPhone 10 except for the executives. He happened to be one of the first ones to get it. And I said to my boss, it could be an iPhone 10 problem. I don't know. I need one. I don't have one. And then I fired up my survey tool, went over and realized, and we were in the process of updating the network, that literally there was a dead space in his office that literally it cut his desk in half. And I'm like, it's not the phone. We needed to add an AP there. And we were just in the process of building it out. But that's something that, I mean, you'd see signal strength in RA. You'd see client information, like they're just not connecting. But I think that's the beauty part, is we could prioritize it. But like to your point, Jim, we don't have to necessarily, because we're going to reduce our turnaround time, I think.
And I think that's, and as we were talking, as we were fighting this out, sorry, Middle, that's where, you know, all of a sudden it dawned on me. I'm like, wait a second, we're old dinosaurs thinking about this. You know, we don't necessarily need to have the tools that we used to use 10, 15 years ago and have that thing. Because yes, the whole executive, like in my last job, the executive team had their own dedicated help desk person. Like they would travel with them type of dedicated help desk person. And it was like, anytime his number popped up on your phone, that was a P1 incident, just because it was his number. And so I think we're outdated. And Middle, I'll bring you back into the conversation now, but are John and I just outdated in this, in thinking that, you know, we still have to have this method to flag this CEO's AP as being a P1, no matter what? Is that really required with AI? Because now if we can solve the whole building problem or my school, you know, from previous, is...
I think you are, I would say, for the right reasons, living in the past. But with AI, you probably should grow with, you know, the changing world. And one of the ways in which you can do so is see how AI is helping, how it is changing how the entire network is perceived, right? You might see that, oh, that one AP in the CEO, around the CEO's office, is important, but you will soon realize that it is part of a network And when that network gets affected, AI is going to be the first one to flag it. And after it analyzes based on the baseline, it's going to prioritize the right way. Right? It agreed. And it's machine, it's technology. It might not do exactly what a human intelligence does. And that's why I believe, John, you're not going to lose your job. But AI gets us most of the way, right? But I would be, let me continue with this thought. And that is only what good is this AI if it just prioritized for you and gave you P1s or the higher priority incidents to work on and left you there? Again, you are relying on IT staffers to work on each incident once you've identified those P1s, right? How about AI telling you how to fix it? So for a long time, right, finding that proverbial needle in the haystack was not very easy, right? Even today, when I speak to IT, and I'm sure you have lived through John and Jim, is that a couple of Excel spreadsheets, look at the timestamp, some software has seconds and milliseconds, and some only have seconds. So you can't just do a comparison of characters or comparison. You have to trim certain terms or tools to be able to match it and then triangulate and all that jazz to get to exactly where the fault lies. Now, imagine if AI is able to deliver to you root cause analysis. It says, now let me show you why this happened, how this happened, and where the issue is. So, you know, here's something to think about. So Ruckus Analytics, the AI engine from Ruckus, does it. It shows you, how does it help? Not only does it help you senior SME subject matter experts in IT, right? You don't need to touch that incident, right? You never get assigned those things. You know why? Because it's not the best use of your time, because all the root cause analysis is already right given up there. Another way in which it helps is that now IT can pretty much hire fresh out of college graduates and say, okay, here's your help desk seat, right? No need for formal training. When they are assigned incidents, they not only see incidents, but they also see the root cause analysis, how to fix it. So you are killing three birds with one stone. Your SME is not bothered. There is no extra time required for a formal training for that newly hired IT graduate. And the third one is that that newly hired IT graduate, right, is learning on the job. It's getting you more throughput right from day one, right? If you think about it, you as IT team, you are able to do way lot more with root cause analysis and recommended remediation actions. So what I didn't tell you is that with Ruckus Analytics, the fresh graduates, IT fresh graduate who is on the help desk ticket is now not only looking at RCA root cause analysis, but he or she is also looking at how to fix it, because Ruckus Analytics shows you recommended remediation action. So they feel empowered because they solved it a couple of times over, right? Their confidence takes a whole new level while they are learning, and you don't have to put them through formal training program. Now that's real savings. So I'll tell you one thing, right? Is either we can wait, or I can roll this discussion in right now and tell you that there is a one of my customer is already reaping these benefits. So 50% reduction in new hire training time, cut in half. That's real money right there in their pocket. Mm. Yep. Because of Ruckus Analytics, the AI engine, showing them root cause analysis and recommended remediation actions, right? Now, you are subject matter expert, okay? The senior, most senior IT person in that team, they are able to save 60% of their time. The seniors, the SMEs are not doing all this mundane work. So now 60% of your time is going into planning better networks. It is going into maybe adding, I'm making this up, but layer of IoT or OT on top of IT, making your network feature rich, right? You think about it. So coming back to the point is that there are a lot many benefits when AI engine from Ruckus starts acting on your network. Now let's talk about network optimization, right? And I'm not going to treat all 12, as I mentioned, because we hardly have that amount of time. Let's touch upon heavy hitters. And one of the things in which I want to, and I harped on it last time when I was here, is that don't fix it if it's not broken, the IT mentality. But when Ruckus Analytics gets into play, it is able to keep a close eye on everything happening in your network. Oh, so AI-driven cloud RRM, we touched upon it just a bit last time, right? And by removing all those co-channel interference, right, with 6 gigahertz in play, AI is able to optimize your network. It ekes out more throughput out of your network. It removes so much of interference that you are going to see improvement in latency, so on and so forth. And IT had not done anything. They didn't do anything with it, right? They just let it fly. And this is, again, this is real use case with one of my customer, or our customer for that matter, right? Where they let AI-driven cloud RRM, radio resource management, show its magic. And what they saw was so amazing. We were able to secure pre and post of their network topology and latency and throughput. And we realized that the co-channel interference had gone down to significant amount, right? I'm not right now going to spew out numbers, but it was so attractive that they agreed to let us go and talk about it. So optimizing your network optimization using RA Ruckus Analytics, the AI engine, is a very big thing. Now, let's turn our focus on managing your cost of your infrastructure and increasing the efficiency, right? So with Ruckus Analytics, IT is now able to use the resources wisely. So as I mentioned, that if you are able to take subject matter expert time and put those aside to do something of higher value, right? You are now talking in terms of the opportunity cost, or rather on the other side, which is you're squeezing in more juice out of that one, right? It is making IT more efficient. It is reducing the cost structure. Let's touch upon this one from cost and efficiency perspective. What if I told you that one of our customers is not even letting that help desk ticket get registered? They see something, they see a P1 incident becomes, before it becomes service affecting, they fix it, and they just let their end customer know that, by the way, there's something going wrong and we fixed it. So there is no help desk ticket being launched or logged and processed. I will tell you right now that I have seen a dollar amount or cost per minute of the help desk ticket, in terms of when one ticket gets logged, there is a static, or there is a fixed cost, and then there's variable cost. All those things go away. Fewer help desk ticket.
You know, it's not just help desk, because I remember having this conversation. Sorry to cut you off, but yeah. I was at, and this was a Ruckus internal meeting that I was at. And we were talking about manufacturing. And one of the things I was talking to the people about, and they were like, well, we have a hard time, you know, trying to prove this to like manufacturing. And just like you were saying with the IT help desk and how much it costs per minute on a ticket and stuff like that. And I was talking to these people, and I said, you know, I said, if you want to really speak to the heart of people in manufacturing, I said, ask them how much it costs for a line to be down, like a manufacturing line. And I said, they might not know much else about anything. I said, but I guarantee you that those manufacturing people know exactly, you know, what it costs them per minute
to have a manufacturer. I said, they'll tell you without even looking up and, you know, I said, they know that stuff off the top of their head. And so it's, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, when you start thinking about it from that perspective, then, you know, it is, you know, when you start thinking about, well, what can we save by just shaving minutes here or saving that type of stuff. So it's not just help desk stuff. It's, you know, it's what the help desk is trying to, you know, service from their customers as well. So, you know, in the case of manufacturing, it can be, you know, the how long the manufacturing is down and what's the production loss on that one. I know a really, really odd number. Jet airlines, you know, that big giant airplanes, you know, the passenger planes, they burn their fuel cost at idle is $83 a minute.
Wow.
So it's one of those things where you're just like, you don't think about, hey, a plane sitting on the tarmac idling and they can't move for 1 minute cost the airline $83. And so that's just an odd number that I happen to know because of my previous job, but it's always about, and you referred to it earlier about saving, you know, it doesn't sound like a whole much, you know, when you talk about one thing, but when you talk about the cumulative, and I think that's really where, you know, people like, you know, old dinosaurs like me and John have a hard time wrapping our mind around that, you know, the cumulative cost type of thing. So.
Agreed. 100% in agreement. And there's one more thing that comes to mind, right? Is so more and more AI is now showcasing itself, surfacing itself in something called conversational AI. And what that means is you can actually talk to AI, right? It's difficult to talk to John Deegan or Jim Yu, like human intelligence, but it's very easy to talk to artificial intelligence. You know why? Because now I, as an IT person or a new IT graduate from school, I can ask simple questions to my AI engine, and it's going to look at the entire database of every single data point that our AI engine has collected throughout your network elements, right? And crunch it, give you the analysis right there in front of your eyes, as in you just ask a simple, how is my network doing? Or how is this school network doing? Or how is this conference room doing? And it will tell you everything under the sun that you need to know. And then, so you're using simple English sentences, right? Mind you, you're not doing fancy LS minus L, you are not doing grep, you are not doing select star from where, you are not doing, you don't have to remember, you don't have a cheat sheet, no nothing. If you know simple English, you can probably converse with your AI engine, and it is using the entire data warehouse, data lake from the back end and give you the right answer. Now, it's smarter than that. One more step is that it won't leave you halfway. Once it shows you that this is the answer to your question, click here to learn more, and it will show you, it will throw you to just the right dashboard, just the right screen in your installation, so that should you need to tool it by hand or should you want to click around, the link is right there. You see the amount of, and again, every drop adds up, right? It's not just one time. Now think about it. If you are going to do it one time, then it's so the most costliest operation. The reason I say is that you memorized all these commands and you're just going to use it one time. Even if you're doing it every day, once an hour, it's still costly versus using simple English. So all in all, look, I'll tell you that all these benefits, right, add up when Ruckus Analytics come into play, the AI engine. And there are very well identified metrics that enterprises have started to standardize on, things like, and I know guys, I'm preaching to the choir here, but things like mean time to identification, mean time to resolution, right? As in now everybody's counting everything. So I will tell you right now that one of my customer is actively measuring MTTI and MTTR, and they were able to show me that this is how we reduced these by leveraging Ruckus Analytics, the AI engine. right? It's like you have to experience it to believe it. In fact, if you are a listener and you are intrigued enough, then you should probably go and talk to your Ruckus representative and start your trial. I'm sorry, guys. I couldn't help but put this plug because this is pretty riveting, right? This is
that's why we're here. That's why
the only thing I'd like to, I'm here to defend the honor of CLI and say I like GREP.
Well,
just saying.
I'm sorry.
Just saying, I like GREP.
I'm gonna duck when I say this, but what's CLI? I'm kidding. I know there's gonna be people listening that go, "I knew it. He doesn't know what he's doing." And maybe you're right, but I do know what CLI means and stands for, and how to get into it. Somewhat, maybe.
After this, I'll teach you about GREP.
But I know what GREP is. But see, I'm a dinosaur, so I've got the tiny arms, and I can't really hit the keyboard. So GUI is the way to go. But you mentioned it, Middle, and I'm glad you did, because that's one of my favorite features of RA is the rotating tips and did you knows and would you like to go more. You can drill into anything by clicking on the links, almost anything. I think there's a couple fields that are not hyperlinks, but almost every metric that you can see on an RA dashboard, you click in and it'll take you layers deeper into the onion, which is great. Sometimes you don't need that level of detail and sometimes you do. And the old way of doing it, you had to really know where to look. But for somebody who's just looking at this, who pops open RA, like, and I'm talking to like the managers, the directors, the executives that can use the tool without actually using the tool, they can just get information and then they walk by the VP and they can say, "Oh yeah, I just saw this and we're doing really well." You've got your SLAs at a glance. You've got, "Hey, did you know that that SSID did that much traffic last week?" Or in the last month, this was the most populated AP, or this was the busiest AP, or this was the busiest SSID, and things like that. Just it's so, I don't want to sound hyperbolic, but it's like empowering. It really is. And I understand anybody that's listening, this is not specific to a Ruckus tool in the sense of there are other analytics platforms, open source and otherwise, that give you a lot of information. And there have been, but it's getting easier to get that information quicker. I mean, I used to spend a day. I would pull all my reports out from my last job and I would spend like a day or a morning, at least a couple hours, collating them, filtering them, taking them in Excel, removing the cells I didn't need, fixing it so that the formatting was all right, because I had some sites that were in gigabytes. I had some sites that were in terabytes. It just was a mess. I had to make the charts look pretty. Now it's just done. And to your point about, you know, it's working smarter, not harder. You give me this tool, you give me this power. And that's, I'm not spending 4 hours building a report every first Friday of the month. I'm spending 10 minutes to make sure the report ran, that I look at the report and there's no gotchas, so that I don't walk down the hall and get grabbed by my CEO and goes, "What the heck am I looking at?" That's huge, because that's time that I can spend training. That's time that I can spend helping other people. That's time that I can to use to look at network optimization. I have this with a customer now where we've spent a wealth of time troubleshooting a problem, more time than I care to admit. And the sacrifice, the cost to that, the deficit, if you will, is the time that we haven't been spending on looking at Wi-Fi 6E and Wi-Fi 7.
Mm-hmm.
So we've spent time, but not enough time. And this helps that.
Agreed. So gentlemen, allow me to give you two more things to think about on benefits of the AI engine, right? Ruckus Analytics, to be precise. Now, let's take a pause and think about what if the incident never hits the help desk. One of my customers measured average number of help desk tickets, right, before they implemented Ruckus Analytics. And then they measured after Ruckus Analytics. And the difference is pretty sharp. And how does that help? Come to think of it. How does that help? And that is, they are able to attribute that savings directly to Ruckus Analytics, right? That's real cost savings right there and there, right? If you now let's unpack one last thing before I know it's time, but everybody talks about cost, as in reducing cost. But you know that there is a floor. You can't go below zero, right? You can drive it to zero, but then what? However, if you start looking at glass half full versus half empty, and that is, let's look at the value that gets created or generated because of this AI, right? Now, we all accepted, agreed that if the whole IT team sat around a table and said, okay, John, you work on this, Jim, you work on this, Mittal, you work on this, as in the smartest guy in the room or the smartest girl was doling out all the incidents to various IT people. Now, first of all, that time has gone away. P1, P2, P3 identified, right? So, and then all those hardest of the hardest P1s were doled out to the smartest of the most expensive SMEs, whereas everybody else had other things to work on. So you have the SME time that got saved. Now imagine this, that same SME is now designing network for the new school that they are building, right? Or a new stadium that they are building. Suddenly there's a value that gets created, right, then that should be credited to the AI engine, which now for the cost, you have ways to measure it, but you don't have a way to very well measure the value that gets created, right? It requires a little bit more sophistication, more attribution in order to identify that just because we did not use Jim's time every morning, 30 minutes. And again, one day of 30 minutes is fine, but 30 minutes every single day, it adds up, right? Come to think of it. And suddenly Jim is doing something of higher value. So one of the things I want our listeners to take home is that when you evaluate an AI system, right, don't just look at, oh, how much my cost is reduced because of this implementation or when I adopt this one, is that also look at the value that gets created, right? Chances are very high that a confluence of this reduction in cost and generation of value will probably pay off your subscriptions for these AI systems, right? In probably weeks or months, right? Your payback period, what they call it in fancy terms, is probably days, weeks, or even months. And then it's all free, so to speak. So, gentlemen, there you go. I can go on and on, but I guess today we can keep it limited to these ones, I would say.
You know, I really enjoy the podcast where, you know, because normally, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I go into these things going, I know everything. And well, kind of did it on this. But the fact that you were able to give me pause to think and rethink about the fact and admit that John and I are dinosaurs is very helpful and interesting to me, because then it's like I learned something and I've modified the way that I think about things. And I go, you know, maybe I do need to come into the AI and embrace that and see what it can do to help me as a network engineer, as a network architect, you know, to help. You know, as I had a meeting earlier today and I told him, I said, our job is to really help the people that are actually doing all of the work. And so anything we can do to help those people out is that's why we're here. So no, this has been fantastic. It's a lot to unpack. And I know if we let you, you'd go on for another 45 minutes or so. So I'm going to have to put a pin in it and we're going to have to, you know, let you reload and come up with more stuff. And we'll bring you back in a few months and turn you loose again.
Excellent. Gentlemen, always a pleasure.
Yeah, no, I want to thank you, Mittal. And I'm going to give one last thought because, Jim, I did learn something. I learned I'm a dinosaur. That was cool. I don't know what dinosaur I am yet, but there's an inside joke with that when you read the show notes. But you, the last point, and I'll say my gotchas or goodbyes or whatever, it's a message I learned from my first boss, who's a retired Marine. Or not my first boss, but my first like boss that I got close to. And it was a line, and it's funny, and I'm going to share it with the world now, all 300 or so people that listen to us, hopefully more than that by the time this one rolls. But Semper Gumby. It's a playoff of the Marine mantra, but it's also a playoff of that wonderful clay, plastic, rubber, whatever he was, thing. Always flexible. You're always learning new things. You're always going to be flexible because, I mean, I know there are people that are going to hate or be frightened by AI again, those wonderful sci-fi movies. But it might be scary, but change is good. And I think it's an exciting
yep.
time for Wi-Fi. And that's not even getting into Wi-Fi 7, which we'll get to eventually.
Yeah.
So on that note, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Mittal. I've got nothing else. So
nope.
If that's everybody, I'm going to hit the music and we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Sounds like a plan.